Welcome to Betting 360, your number one source for horse racing and sports betting insights. Coming around the bend is your host, David Duffield, with another expert interview to give you the winning edge.
Hi, this is David Duffield, and welcome to another episode of the Betting 360 podcast. Today on the line, I've got Ben Cray. His background is as an on-course bookmaker, and then in the corporate bookmaking world, and for the last year or more as a professional punter betting on harness racing. So it's a pretty interesting and successful background, and it's a good time to have a chat with Ben and find out what we as punters can learn from him. Hi, this is Dave Duffield. I'd like to welcome Ben Cray to the show. How are you, Ben?
I'm very well, thank you, Dave. Yourself?
Yeah, going really well, thanks, and might as well start at the start. Tell us about your early background and your interest in betting.
Well, like many of us, I was probably conceived at Harold Park, I would imagine, on a Friday night at the trots, and so my interest started very early, and just a punter myself, really wanted to get into the bookmaking side of things, so about 12 years ago, I got my own bookmaking license, and I started fielding at various New South Wales country greyhound tracks such as Cessnock and Singleton, which are actually now defunct, but that's where I learnt the trade.
All right, and at those tracks at that time, was it a thriving on-course bookmaking scene, or were you one of
It was probably the end of it, and then it was just getting to the end of it. I was actually the only bookmaker on track, so obviously the prices had to be pretty accurate. There were still the smart punters on track back then, and you know, unlike now, I had to bet someone to win $2,000 on track back then, so you had probably 100 to 150 people on track, and I was the only bookmaker, and there was probably 20 guys that were smart, and the rest were $5 punters, so it was sort of the end of the country bookmaking, I suppose.
We'll get to the corporate scene in a moment, but you must laugh looking back at what little money most of the corporates will take now when you had to bet them $2,000 on course.
Yeah, it's becoming a bit of a farce, but hey, we do our best, and hopefully we can do our best for everyone here.
Yeah, so when you're on course bookmaker, and if you're the only one there, how would you go about pricing up the race to try and have it as a pretty good set of prices so that you're not getting stung?
It's pretty much the same as the way I price a race now. I always did it, you know, being a punter. Even a bookmaker's market for me is still, I like to approach it in a punting way. Most of the races, I think, have only got a few chances, and we'll talk about it later. They are the races that we like to focus on and really aim at, and these type of meetings. So I think myself, and even when I moved into the corporate world, you know, I don't like to throw something up 20 to 1 if it's really a 200 to 1 chance. I think that's a waste of some percentage in your market and a waste of making some money somewhere else.
Okay, yep, we'll definitely cover that in a bit more detail later on. So from the on-course bookmaking scene, what was the next step in your involvement in the industry from there?
Well, the bookmaking, you know, I learned a lot on track, and I think that's the best place to learn anywhere. And just, it wasn't that we were losing money, but we weren't making a huge amount of money for the commitment we were putting in. And I saw a job advertised in Darwin, and that was with Alan Iskander, and that was with Betstar. And basically there was myself and three other guys that were already working for him, and the four of us pretty much opened the offices in Darwin, and that was a good 10 years ago now, or 8 or 9 years ago, I'm not sure, but yeah, so we were the first ones up in Darwin for Betstar, and coincidentally they've just been sold this week, so they've obviously done very well for themselves.
Yeah, there's not many left standing, or Aussie-owned anyway, so with Betstar as one of the first employees up there, I imagine you probably have to be a jack-of-all-trades.
We did everything, so we did racing, trots, dogs, sport, whatever was going on, you know, we did some media work and whatever, but pretty much anything that was needed to be done, it was yours to do, so it's quite good because you get to learn a lot of different things. Sport is obviously a lot different to trade than racing or dogs, so it was a good learning process for sure.
And so how early on were you going up pretty early with the trots prices? I know one of the points of difference that you guys were trying to make to, you know, stand out from a pretty crowded marketplace was having your odds up and ready to be bet pretty early. When did that happen, and why did you take that approach?
Yeah, back in the day, trots has always been my passion, and or harness racing. And back in the day, we had full support from Alan and whoever was my bosses at the time, and they trusted my pricing, and really we really became the market leaders in harness racing. We were going up on a Thursday for Saturday night's races, which is unheard of these days, and for bigger events like
let's say, the Miracle Mile or Inter Dominion, I was putting markets up 6 months out. Also, for stuff like if there was a derby on the next week and the two heats were on this week, I'd have finals markets up this week, not waiting until they went up next week, you know. So we really became market leaders, and everyone knew Betstar to be a really good company at the time to take a bet. And we were known as, yeah, the market leaders in harness racing.
So you've put up what you think are a good set of prices, and there's a little bit of margin in it, of course, but how soon would you have to react to what the market's telling you? Did you have some pretty smart punters betting with you?
Well, we did, and we were on a good basis with some media there. So as soon as we went up, it would go out in the media, and you know, it would only take 5 or 10 minutes to know which one you've got wrong, so as it does now.
So, yeah, you would be reacting pretty much straight away after you were putting a market up. But, you know, we'd sort of go up pretty competitive at 130% and work our way down to probably 110% back in the day when all bets were taken. You could actually make a good book. So it was quite exciting times.
Those were the days, eh?
Those were the days. They're gone now.
Yeah. So what else did you learn by being involved in other sports, whether that's, you know, horse racing or even sports betting? Was there anything you learned there that you applied to your true love being the harness racing?
Well, I just think little bits, you can take little bits from everything. I mean, when I became a bookmaker at the Dogs, I knew nothing, and you learn the very hard way. And then I work for Alan, and I learn everything that he knows. He did things differently than, let's say, my next employee, Hamish Davidson. He did things a lot more difficult and a lot more mathematical, whereas Alan was like a market leader and waited for swings and troughs in the market, whereas Hamish created the markets. So I think through the three or four companies I've worked in, I've taken something out of every one of them, and it's taken me a long time to get to my position, and hopefully now we can put that to good use.
Definitely. So tell us about Hamish Davidson. I know in the industry, he's obviously very well regarded. I'd say amongst the general punting public, he's not, doesn't have a high profile. So what did you learn from him?
I learnt everything from him, mate, to be fair. He was he's excellent. And he's got a bookmaking family. His dad still, I'm pretty sure, bookmakes at Sydney, and his brother Stuart obviously was on the rails there. Hamish, and still does, is a price because he wants to be. Unlike others that the tab will go up $3 and everyone follows at $2.90 or $3.10, Hamish will go up $3.50 or $2.50. He's a price because he wants to be that price. If it's NRL and everyone's, let's say, six start the favourite, if he wants to be eight or seven and a half, he'll go there. And there's a reason he is that, and without giving anything away, obviously, he builds books. He still builds great books, whereas pretty much everyone now just trades. And everyone just wants losers. Hamish will still take great bets off people, and the reason he does that is because he wants the bets at the price he is. He's not just copying anyone else. So I learned a great deal about setting markets, especially in sport, with him, and a different, complete different way to think about things. And you know, I implemented those when I went back to Betstar later on in my career, and helped some of the guys in the sports there implement those ideas as well.
So you talked earlier about a balanced book, and you could do it in those days. So for someone like Hamish, it doesn't sound like that's a focus for him.
In sport, he does, and that's because him and other bookmakers and whatever, the people that are smart and whatever, they'll still punt on the side to make a book, or they will go and lay something on Betfair to make a book if they're standing an outsider and they don't want to be. They'll go and lay the favourite to make a book. He can still do it, but probably to a lesser extent in the racing, because the clientele might not be there. And as with any bookmakers in racing, it's just whoever and especially if you can't get off with another bookmaker these days, you're pretty much stuck with what you got. Hence why bookmakers are now not taking bets off smart people, because they get stuck with them.
Speaking of not taking bets, the next step for you was Bet365. their approach was a little bit different to the way you wanted to do it.
Yeah, look, and I don't want to go in and slag any bookmakers off, but obviously one of the first of the new brigade to come in, and you know, they're great if you can get a bet on there. They've got the best product in the world there. You know, the fixed price with the best of two tote guarantee is great if you can get a bet on there. It's just unfortunate that these bookmakers that are worth billions of dollars, millions and millions of dollars, won't even let anyone, even such as myself, on just to win $500, and that's all we ask. But I mean, that's a whole another forum that a lot of people are angry about, and I don't really want to get stuck on that here. But you know, it'd be nice to be able just to get on to win $500. That's all we ask. But you know, they're amongst everyone else, they just close your account as soon as you do anything smart. not necessarily yep. win. If you produce something that looks smart, that's when you're in trouble.
Okay, so if from the corporate bookmaking world, you've been punting, you know, on your own for a while now. So tell us about your current focus, and in particular, you've really, you know, narrowed it down to your most profitable venues in your most profitable sport.
Correct. I've actually produced a, well, I've stolen it, I'm not going to lie to you, a spreadsheet off someone. And what it does is we price things to 120, 130% market, which is what most of the corporates will go up. And then this converts it to what we call 100% price, but it actually skews it a bit towards favourites. So to put it in layman's terms, a 100 to 1 runner might only really be 200 and 250 to 1 in 100% market. And for us, you know, if I see a 100 to 1 runner at 250 to 1, for me that's not great overs, so I'm not really going to back it. So what this system that we've developed does is it sort of skews that right out at the gate, and you might need 700-800 to 1 for that 100 to 1 runner to win. So what ours does is it compresses the favourites. The ones that are in the middle of the road pretty much stay the same at 100%, and the long shots go out. Not to say that we won't be selecting long shots, but the way that we do things is that the way that I rate horses, I don't want to waste percentage on long shots. As I spoke to you before, the tab or other bookmakers very often go up 15, 20 to 1 about a horse, which is 5%. Now, for mine, they've only got really a 1 or 0.5% chance of winning. So if they're 200 to 1, you know, we can focus. If they've got three or four horses at 20 to 1 that should be 200 to 1, they're wrong by 15% in my eyes, and that's, we can manipulate the market and back the ones that really do have a chance that they've got the wrong price about.
Yeah. I mean, the favourite long shot bias we've written about, spoken about for a long time, and it sounds like that's the 120% down to 100% spreadsheet just automates that process, makes the favourite shorter and the longer shots longer.
It does. And you know, I'm more than happy to back long shots, but I don't want to be backing if they've just got no chance whatsoever. And the meetings that we're going to focus on with the stuff I'm doing on, there's going to be a lot of horses that have got no hope of winning with a start.
So what is your starting point for analysing a race? I know the horses are well known to you because you concentrated in New South Wales, but you know, what's the first thing that you do when you're looking at a race?
Yeah, so we will be concentrating on New South Wales, and only in certain tracks there. We'll be concentrating on anything in that Hunter Valley to northwest region, for instance, Newcastle and Tamworth and those type areas. And we'll also play Menangle and anything else in the city. I've concentrated on these areas because I've done 3 years of research and kept 3 years of stats for myself on every bet that I had, every track, and these were the ones that were the most profitable, and it just turns out that way. So with really concentrating on these three or four tracks a week, I think we're going to draw the most profit out there. Now, obviously, yes, it's a small pool of horses, so the same horses are running around against each other, so the form usually holds up. That's the first point and reason I want to concentrate on these tracks. When I look for things to look at, speed maps are the most important thing in trots. You know, it doesn't matter if you're running around an 800-metre track or a 1400-metre track. Things in the top three or four are going to win most of the time. It's just as simple as that. So speed maps are very important, especially when we go to places like Tamworth and these places, which we will concentrate on, and we do have great success there. If you're leading on an 800-metre track, you know, you've got a real big start on the rest of them. When we go to Menangle, which is a much larger track, it's funny because the leaders still seem to win there, because a lot of the drivers will just wait and wait because they think it's such a long straight that they've got plenty of time, but invariably the leaders will get away with cheap quarters and then they only have to sprint home themselves. So speed map, in my eyes, is number one thing. Number two thing for me, and a lot of people don't take it into account, is distance. They think because trotters run a mile, then they'll run 2,800 next week or 2,400 or whatever. A lot of horses can't run past that mile, so I do take into account whether they can actually run the distance. Drivers are a big thing, and driver changes are a big thing for me. They're massive. Lauren Purnell is out at the moment, but she is a great example of this. When she hops on a horse that a guy has driven, they just seem to improve. It's just a lot of horses run for certain drivers, a lot don't. So we look for, I really take into account a driver change and a positive driver change at that. And another thing I also like to look for is whether or not, what price the horse was last time in pretty much the same class. And because we do concentrate on the same tracks, the horses will be in the same classes and run against each other. So if something was even money favourite last time, it may have run a bad race. And if it's sent out at 8 or 10 to 1 next week, well, I want to be on it. I'm happy to forgive it. There was a reason it was even money last start. Why would you let it go around at 8 or 10 to 1 this week? at best it might only be really a 3 or 4 to 1 shot if it's bad run, if that's what you saw. So last week's price and whether or not there was actually money for it, I sort of have a good thing about remembering which horses have been backed. So for me, I take that into account as well. And obviously form. I mean, form's obviously a big thing, but these are the things that I really, they stand out for me. So, you know, if something was 50 to 1 last week and it ran a good second this week and it sent out it favoured in the same race, there's no way I'm going to be on that. For mine, it was a reason it was 50 to 1 last week. Yes, it may have improved and it might deserve to be 10 or 12 to 1 this week, but why is it favourite? So they're the type of things I look for as well.
Yep, and so then you've got your rated prices for every runner and you cover every race. You're betting into most races unless there's, you know, not a lot of trial form or exposed form.
Yep.
Then from there, you're backing all the overlays, and also how would you describe your betting style or your preferred bet types?
Yeah, look, I mean, I might do things differently than others, but the way I plug along, I suppose, I'm not in it to make $10,000 in one day, and I'm definitely not going to lose that much in one day either. I'm happy to make my percentage, and I sort of grind it out. So for me, I might be backing 3, 4, maybe even 5 runners in a race. So for me, anything that's over the 100% mark, sorry, better price than what my 100% price is, I'll be backing. The reason I do this is because I'm a very aggressive pricer. So if I think something's $1.30 shot, I'll make it $1.30. I'm not going to go out there and make it an even money shot like the paper will, let's say, for example, or some other corporates might do. So I'm a very aggressive pricer. So most times there might be two or three bets, you know, in a race. So I'm happy to back all of the horses myself that are better than the 100% price that I've rated them.
And then do you do anything on the exotics or lay betting, anything else?
Look, I had a bit of a dabble in lay betting. For mine, Betfair is where the smartest punters are. And look, to be fair, I'm sort of turning over enough doing it this way. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, I do a little bit of lay betting, but as a rule, I don't. It's only if I really see something terribly short that I just can't agree with. But it'd have to be a fair bit shorter for me to get into it. I'm happy to be just back around it and hope I get a result that way. For exotics, I've dabbled in them, and there's some good examples maybe on the... If there's like a tens on pop, probably not going to have a bet on the race because there probably won't be any overs there. But if there's a tens on pop in it, you know, we might be able to throw in an exotic or two, and hopefully if we come to those type of races, I might put a suggestion in for an exotic in that race. At those type of races, for me, though, the best amount of money can be made on place betting. So let's make an example that number 2 is $1.10 in the market and number 1 might be 20, 30 to 1, a win price, but you may be able to get $3 or $4 a place for it. You can see the 2 leading, the 1 will be sitting on its back and it might be a great place chance. So for mine, I sort of steer away from the exotics because most of my stuff I do is based on price, and I have to get the price to get value. So exotics for mine might be rare. I can throw some in for suggestions for people, but I like to bet all my stuff on fixed odds and make sure I know that I'm getting better value than what I think it should be.
So, man, I wanted to get you on the show because there is a, you know, a level of interest amongst punters and the people that get our newsletter for the harness racing side of things, but also we, you know, always looking to add to our range of products available. Guys that are very successful at what they do, but a lot of people having problems getting on. So that's an issue for you, just getting set for a, you know, a reasonable bet. So we've had a few discussions, and I've seen a lot of your work, and proud to have you, you know, added to our analyst stable. But there might be, depending on when you're listening to this, the opportunity might have already gone. So it's not necessarily something that you can just snap up. It may already have been closed because we want to limit the amount of people that can get your stuff, because otherwise you're just going to cannibalise each other or, you know, crush your own market. So if the opportunity is still available, it'll be on the website, on the show notes here. But basically it's going to be a service that focuses on New South Wales and some certain tracks in particular. At this stage it's around 3 days a week, but pretty much every race within that. Every runner gets a rated price, there'll be some speed map comments, and there'll be a brief comment on the race. And then you're backing every overlay, but we're trying not to hammer our own prices too much, so I really hope that people spread the timing of their bets and the location of their bets. Does that cover or summarise what the service people will be getting?
Yes, it does. And like you said, we'll concentrate on 3 meetings to start with, and they'll be the Tuesday meeting at Menangle, where, again, you know, half the horses probably can't win, so that's a really good track to bet at. And then we'll do a Thursday meeting
which is invariably Newcastle or Tamworth or somewhere in that region. Again, we have some great success there. And then for the people that are out on a Saturday that want to have a bet on a Saturday, we'll do the Saturday night meeting as well. The percentages are still good there. They're not as good as a Tuesday or Thursday, but we'll still have some fun there and we'll definitely be winning there as well. So I really look forward to it. And like you said, we're going to limit this membership. Trots is a bit of a niche thing, so we don't want too many people getting this thing. So whatever, you know, the people that do buy into this are going to be getting a selected few are going to get it. So hopefully we can then really
exclusive
go with it.
Exclusive is probably the correct word.
Exclusive is the word. That's correct. Yeah. And look, I've been making a good somewhere between 7 and 10% for the last 3 years. And like I said to you before, we're not going to make $10,000 in a day, but we're not going to lose $10,000 a day. Whatever your bank is, you know, if we can grind out 10% constantly, you know, each week, that's a good little tax-free earn for you.
Yeah, definitely. And for the first month, we may continue it after that, but definitely for the first month, you're going to man the live page and share your thoughts with all the members?
Look, for those that have actually seen my work on Twitter, you know, we do some good work there and we've got some good followers. You know, unfortunately for them, they're going to have to now pay if they want to get the tips. But this will be obviously a very similar type forum, and at least for the first month, for every meeting, I'm going to man that. We'll do some, hopefully we can sort of say, hit the trigger and back these ones when we need to back them. And any questions you have as well about any punting, anything is not too stupid a question. If you don't understand even what we're talking about by percentages or whatever, happy to chat about it. Like I said, I'll be manning that for the first month, every meeting at least.
Excellent. And all right, so if people are listening in and there's still spots available, definitely get in contact with us, give us a call, or you can sign up online. If not, you can join the waiting list, and it'll be like the trial spy in the New Zealand service, where it's closed to new members, but a couple of times a year we open it up. If that's the case, that's all right. But, hopefully people listening in have learned something from the discussion today. So thanks for your time, Ben, and look forward to working together.
Thank you, David, and have a great night.
Thanks for tuning in to Betting 360. Get more in-depth analysis, tips, and that betting edge by heading over to championpicks.com.au, where you'll find a full transcript of this episode. If you like the show, share us with a fellow punter or drop by iTunes to leave us your thoughts. Betting 360, punting from all angles.